Happy to have the Buffalo Bills all-time leading scorer, Steve Christie, on the line with us. Steve, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thank you very much for being with us here this afternoon. Welcome back to Buffalo.
How you doing?
We're doing well here. Thanks. How's it feel to be back in rainy Buffalo today? Is it raining where you're at?
Well, we flew up from Sarasota, so we're pretty happy to be up here right now with the hurricane.
With the hurricane
coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that where you make your home now, Steve, down in Sarasota area?
Yeah, we're down there full time, and you know, I think that's the only drawback of it's the price of having great weather is that every once in a while you get a storm like this, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the one behind Irma. Jose is just upgraded to a Category 4 too, so you know, rough. I hope it doesn't hit the islands like Irma did, and it doesn't hit Florida as bad. Steve, I remember I trained down in Sarasota. It was one of the most beautiful places, I swear. I was like, I gotta live down here one day.
Great.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice.
Steve, I know you've had health challenges in recent years. I'm wondering, A, how you're doing with that and how you keep busy these days. What have you been up to in recent years?
Well, cancer-wise, you know, it's been gone, and I just, you know, I live with it. And, you know, I have some setbacks every once in a while, but they're getting fewer and far between, so that's good. And, you know, I still work out in the gym and try to stay healthy. And that's all you can do is, you know, carry on with your life. And, you know, you keep fighting it. And we help a lot of people that have it now in our area. And, you know, just sort of a support system for other people with cancer. But also with that in mind, I still support Camp Good Days and Special Times, which is started as a cancer camp for kids in Rochester. And one of the ways that we're doing that is we brought back Christie's Kickers, really low-fat sausage that are available at Dash's. We figured that it was a good time to bring the product back and continue to support Camp Good Days, which is the charity that I supported when I played for the Bills. In fact, it was the charity that I took over from Scott Norwood when I came here. So it's been a long relationship with Camp, and you know, being able to help kids with cancer has been extremely gratifying, even for a number of years after I stopped playing.
Yeah, that's good news that you're doing well health-wise and really good what you're doing, too, with the with Camp Good Days. Steve, we want to get to the game, of course, the comeback game that will be commemorated on Sunday, but if you can just kind of recount the story of how you wound up here, what, from Tampa Bay, I guess, as a free agent, recruited here by Marv Levy and the Buffalo Bills back in 1992, correct?
Yes, I was with the Buccaneers, and back then they had a Plan B free agency sort of system that was, you know, not liked by many, but I certainly enjoyed it. It worked out for me. We were 3-13 at the time, and I was looking at my third head coach in as many years, and they were playing around with the roster and obviously playing around with the coaching staff too. They put a few guys on Plan B that I think at the end of the day they wish they hadn't have. And as soon as that list came out, I guess Marv ran down the hallway and told Bill Polian, and Bill called me and said, "You're coming up." And I said, "Absolutely, absolutely." And that was pretty much it. And, you know, I kind of warned Tampa that, you know, these things could happen, and they were kind of messing around with this, that, and the other. And I just realized that, you know what, Buffalo is the closest, you know, it's our NFL team coming from Toronto. And what a great opportunity it was to head up there.
Steve, you guys will all be back in town for this game, as you guys will be honored for that big-time comeback. And the one thing that strikes me about that team and those teams from that era was just how close you guys are, you know, and how you keep in contact. And you just talked about, you know, a Plan B free agency and how it was back then. When you look at free agency today, do you think – that teams will be the same like they were back in when you were playing? Like these guys will be able to be friends like they are or like they were when you were playing?
I mean, somewhat maybe with teams like New England where they're able to, you know, keep the nucleus of the team together, which I think was the big factor for Buffalo's success back then, was that, you know, Marv Levy and Bill Polian were able to keep a lot of guys together for a long time. And so guys became close on and off the field, and that helped, you know, that it kind of helps you in close games, you know, when you trust the guy next year and everybody's in it to win it. I mean, I say that not in jest, but I've been with teams that they're clearly playing for Monday's check, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case in Buffalo. It was a real fraternity, a real bond between all the guys, and I think that it certainly showed itself on the field as well. And, you know, like I said, those close games, I think we had an advantage because everybody was on the same page.
Steve Christie joins us. He is here in town. He'll be the leader of the charge Sunday, bringing the Bills out onto the field, and then be on the field at halftime when the Bills celebrate the legendary comeback game from January 3rd, 1993. Steve Tasker was in the studio with us the other day, Steve Christie, and he recounted the story of the onside kick and the decision to kick it onside, and he thinks that was maybe a turning point. Can you give us your view of the onside kick that you eventually recovered in that game to kind of spark the comeback?
Yeah, it's a middle onside kick. It's a surprise call, and Mark Maddox and Mark Pike were my two guards next to me, and they did, or the fives, and they did a heck of a job, sort of spearheading into the front center and whoever else was in the area from the Oilers. So basically, they just went right in there, and I went right behind them, and sure enough, the ball was just sitting right there. They did a great job, and I'm giving them all the credit in the world for that, because normally, or I mean, I certainly would have been able to do that by myself. So, but yeah, you're right. It was a good turning point for us. We needed to do something a little bit different to change the momentum a little bit, and it helped.
Tasker mentioned the, I guess, genius of the late, great Bruce DeHaven in making sure that the Oilers didn't know something was up. He wanted everybody to act normal when he made that call for the surprise onside, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bruce was one of the best in the league. You know, we practiced all these things. It's not like we just pulled it out of a hat. We had a lot of things. You know, as you go through the season, you add and you modify things that you see and things that you may have a shot at. And in that particular case, we noticed that the center for Houston was leaving a bit early. And, you know, the whole idea is to kind of judge what hip he's leaving off of. And that's exactly, I put the ball on the opposite side of that and, like I said, have the guy spearhead in there and try to pull it out, and it worked out that well, really well for us in that case. And we had other things up our sleeve, you know, a surprise onside kick left and right, but the middle one was our best opportunity.
And then you get to overtime, and in a, you know, a critical game, it was win or go home, and you're out there for, you know, a 32-yarder, not a chip shot, but, you know, not that easy either. I mean, not that difficult either. Tell us your thoughts going out there with everything that had transpired before that fateful kick that would end the game in overtime. What was going through your head at that point?
Well, I mean, I'm always one to kind of look at it for what it is. It's a 32-yard field goal that I hit all the time in practice, and that's really my mental approach to it. And, you know, really, they called a timeout on us. Which I learned to use that to my advantage. You know, basically walk away from the huddle, walk away from the Oilers, collect myself, put myself in this situation where, yeah, I'm just going to knock the ball in like I always do. And in that, you know, it's not that I wasn't nervous. I certainly was. And, you know, I'm well aware of the situation, but I always looked at it as an opportunity to finish the game, to help really contribute. Because, you know, kickers don't get on the field that much. And then when you get the opportunity to do something like that, you really want to make the best of it. And, you know, I can't tell you the sense of relief that I had when that thing went through.
I seem to recall some sort of dust-up about the football itself. There was no what happened? There was no net up back then? And do you have the ball, or is the ball anywhere? What do you know about that?
I'm not too sure where it is.
That's terrible.
It's kind of funny. Because when Nate Odoms had that interception, I think we only had – we ran a couple of plays, but for some reason they didn't get the net up in time. So I didn't realize it until after the fact when I was in the locker room, because I asked Woody, I said, where's the ball? And he said, they didn't get the net up in time and somebody has it. The next day, whoever it was who had the ball at the time offered it to me for $10,000.
I remember
And I
this.
Said, I'm not paying 10 grand for a ball that I kicked.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. So the last I heard was that it might even be somewhere near me in Florida, but that is just a rumor. So I don't know where that ball is. The ball from the recovered onside kick is in my pub in my house. That one I know where it is. The ball that should be in a trophy case in Buffalo at the stadium is who knows where it is.
And your kicking shoe is at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right, from that game?
And that was also a funny story because I knew the field might be frozen, and I pulled an old pair of Nikes that I had in the shed in our place in Ellicottville. I mean, I was cutting the lawn with those things, but I realized that there was the perfect studs on the bottom if the AstroTurf froze. So the funny thing was, I mean, they were covered in mud and grass and everything else, and I had to clean them up for the game, and I just kept using them until, you know, we got into, you know, the Rose Bowl there. But then that also ended up being the shoe in the Hall of Fame, was one that was sitting in my shed.
Amazing stories. I'm sure you'll share a lot of those stories with your teammates all weekend long, Steve. It's great to hear your voice. Great to have you back in town. I look forward to saying hi to you on Sunday at the game. Thank you for being with us here today.
Anytime. Appreciate it.